The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and we are with Maurice Gardner, Senior Civil Engineer in the District Mining Operations Office, and Michael Bodner, Manager of the Mine Subsidence Section in California District Office. Also on the line, on another phone line, is Patty Monahan, Regional Communications Manager with DEP. Thank you all for being here again this week with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many relentless realtors who've been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners. We have a camera on top of the building, and we get thousands of hits a month on that camera.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Catch us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram. And remember, when you go to jruddy.com, the real estate radio show tab, you'll see all the podcast apps that we feature this radio show on. Okay, gentlemen, Michael Bodner, manager of the Mine Subsidence Section in the California District Office, Maurice Gardner, senior civil engineer in the district mining operations here locally. You know, what happens when someone has something that occurs on their property, such as a sinkhole, an opening, a void, and they don't have mine subsidence insurance?
When that occurs, if there's a sinkhole or an opening, the Bureau of Abandoned Mine Reclamation, which is a separate program from us, will come out and investigate the situation. And if it is a mine-related hole, they will fill it in. But if there was no coverage on the structure and it was affected, then the homeowner will be responsible for those costs. If there is a hole like that that opens up and the structure is not impacted, we can write a policy during, you know, that time immediately if the homeowner were to apply. But if the structure is impacted, then, you know, there's nothing we can do at that point. You can't wreck your car and then apply for insurance, to cover it. So we don't take risk into a factor, being that, like, you know, there is an open hole on the property. I would still be able to write a policy as long as the structure has not been impacted. I actually just had a situation like that a few weeks ago in a local town. We had a subsidence that opened between two structures. And luckily, I was there the next morning after it happened and was able to get the homeowner coverage in case anything did occur. That hole, between the two homes, there was probably around 35 to 40 feet of yard between the two homes. And the sinkhole that opened up was roughly 15 feet in diameter on the surface, but it was like between 46 and 48 feet deep.
Wow.
So the hole was actually deeper than the space between the two homes. If something were to ever have collapsed, one or both of those homes could have been impacted, you know, immediately. So it was filled in within 36 to 48 hours of the time it occurred. Abandoned mine reclamation was there, and it took 18 truckloads of concrete to fill it in to get it up, you know, close to the surface. And then they were able to reestablish the topsoil and grassed area after that. But it's everybody, it worked out fortunate for them in that situation, but it very easily could have gone the other way.
So what do you fill it with? You fill it with the rock and use a special kind of concrete? How do you fill it?
The type of material that they generally use is called a flowable fill. It's a low PSI strength concrete type material, but it's still excavatable. So if they had to dig it up to, you know, reestablish any utility lines or anything of that nature, it still could be removed by digging it with a machine. It wouldn't have to be jackhammered out. I mean, the main point of that material is to take up the void space so nothing else can collapse. It doesn't have to be a high strength material like a bridge or something of that nature.
It didn't even look like, I know what you're talking about. It didn't even look like a big hole, but 18 truckloads. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, it was only 12 to 15 feet around on the top, but it was over 46 feet deep.
It was deep. Right. So were there any telltale signs, did the homeowner say, or did they just wake up one day and here it was? Like, that's scary.
Yeah, no, it happened overnight. They thought they heard something in the night, but weren't really sure what it was. And in the morning, the first thing, the hole was there. They actually went in the morning, going to let their dog out in the yard and kind of walked outside and, oh, geez, here's this giant hole, and kept the dog on the leash. Thankfully, nobody or any pets or anything like that weren't hurt. And, they were able to notice it. But
yeah, that's typical of mine subsidence as well. It's above abandoned mining. It's not predictable. We don't know where or when it will happen. And it's typically a very sudden event. And fortunately, the homeowner in this situation, their house was not damaged, and they were able to get a policy. But that's not ideal. Folks, homeowners should really have that policy in hand
beforehand
in case subsidence were to happen. Because if that sinkhole was any closer to those homes, as Marie said, over 40 feet deep, one could imagine what the damage to that structure would have been. Catastrophic.
Right.
Absolutely. It easily could have went the other way. Like I said, that specific situation worked out, but it definitely could have, they could have woke up to severe damage to the house as well.
Right. They could have been in that hole.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing that on the news. Now, let me ask you something. Do all of the sinkholes, all of these occurrences, do they all make the news, or do some of them just fly under the radar?
No, most of them don't make the news.
Really?
Yeah. There's way more that aren't on the news than the ones that actually do make it.
Well, I as you were telling the story, I understood that you have to act very quickly, right? You have to move swiftly in these matters so that you can stabilize the area so no further damage occurs to the surrounding area, other houses, this house, other properties and pools and so on and so forth. How long of a window do you really have in these types of situations before it progresses?
I mean, that varies basically from case to case. It all depends on the depth of the subsidence, how close it is to other structures, the soil stability. Is it in an area that there's a lot of good rock and stable soil, or is it a sandy gravel area that's, near a river or something of that nature? All those things can make a difference.
Well, if I was a neighboring property, I would have got you right. I would have came over and applied for a policy if I didn't have one, because who's to say? I mean, they're probably all thinking, am I next? Is this going to happen to me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how often do you see that there's a reoccurrence in the area?
There are certain areas that would be considered a hot spot.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that is more so based off of the condition of the mine and, the rock cover, depth below. Generally, areas that are more prone to problems are in shallow cover areas. As Mike had stated in the past, in our discussion, under 50 feet, where you're going to get a sinkhole type subsidence. those areas seem to be a little bit more prone to reoccurring issues within the neighborhood. But there really is no rhyme or reason or predicting that it's going to happen or where it's going to happen.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we've seen subsidence over abandoned mines where that mine has been over 600 feet deep. So there really is no safe depth of cover when we're talking about structures located above abandoned mines.
All right, so how many homes in Pennsylvania are at risk of being...
So there are over 1 million homes in Pennsylvania that are undermined, and we have just over 60,000 MSI policies in effect. So somewhere between 6 and 7% of the at-risk structures have mine subsidence insurance. So that's a pretty low number, unfortunately.
That's real low. How many claims do you pay out each year?
It varies. And the number of claims that we pay isn't necessarily related to how many homes are damaged, because there are homes damaged every year that do not have insurance. But we pay somewhere probably around 20 claims a year. And again, that's just homes that are damaged by subsidence that have policies. Homeowners that have damage that aren't covered, that do not have a policy, there's nothing that our program can do for them once their home is damaged.
So you're saying that of the million homes that are at risk, there's only 6 or 7% that have mine subsidence insurance with those numbers?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's correct.
Well,
we have it.
Yes. So we're one of those, we're in that 6 to 7%. I just, you know, we've done it because it makes sense to us and it's not costly, it's inexpensive. How does someone apply or find out if they're anywhere near a mine?
Well, there are several ways that homeowners can find out if they are at risk. Located above an abandoned mine, they can go to our website, that is dep.pa.us/MSI. They can also just Google PAMSI, stands for Mine Subsidence Insurance. We have an interactive tool on our website. The homeowner can type in their address, and the map will show them whether or not they are located above an abandoned mine and at risk of mine subsidence. From there, there are a couple of different ways that owners can obtain mine subsidence insurance. The easiest way is right through our website. They can complete their application, make payment through the website, and apply for the insurance right through there. Homeowners can also contact their insurance agents. Insurance agents in Pennsylvania are permitted to sell the state's mine subsidence insurance. So the homeowner's insurance agent can provide them and complete the application for mine subsidence insurance for them. And the third way would be just to call our office and request that a paper application be mailed. So homeowners can contact our office directly. Toll-free number, 1-800-922-1678, and just ask that an application be mailed to them. They can, when they call that number, they can also ask for us to check whether or not their home is undermined and therefore at risk of mine subsidence.
Okay, good information. And is this something that has to be, is it automatically renewed every year? Do you send out a bill or does the homeowner have to go and reapply each and every time?
No, we send a renewal notice about 6 weeks before the policy expires. It is an annual policy. So about 6 weeks before the expiration, we will email or mail the homeowner a renewal notice. And the homeowners can continue to renew their policy. We also offer an inflationary policy increase. So your policy coverage can increase with inflationary costs. And we recommend that homeowners take that every year, take that increase. That varies anywhere from, it could be 0% if construction costs have not increased over the past year. or it can be even a double-digit percentage increase in your coverage amount. So homeowners always want to make sure when they have a policy that they have enough coverage in case subsidence were to damage the home, so they would have enough coverage to pay for those repairs.
And the cost is only, is it $41.25 per $100,000? $150,000, right?
Yeah, well, $150,000 worth of coverage cost about $41 per year, and there's a 10% senior discount that is available on that as well.
Uh-oh, I qualify for that now.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right, so then when someone applies, does someone from your agency come out and inspect the property? Is there some sort of walk around or walk through?
There are times that, yes, we do need to come inspect the property, but we don't have the staff available to do that with all applications we receive. If there has been subsidence in the area, we may come out to do an inspection, but we will contact the homeowners and work with their schedule to come out and do that inspection. And typically those inspections take less than an hour and focus on the foundation area of the home and the exterior.
And is there a deductible clause?
There is not. There is no deductible with our coverage. And in fact, since our program inception back in 1961, the cost of our insurance has done nothing but go down. About 4 or 5 years ago, we actually cut our rates in half. So that coverage that maybe cost you $100, 5 years ago, now it costs you $50 a year.
And I can testify to that. The price has gone down. The one thing the price has gone down of over the past 5 years is my mind subsidence insurance.
Mm-hmm. Now, when does that happen?
It never happens.
Never. So no. That's right. So that's remarkable. Great stuff.
I must be dreaming.
With us today, Michael Bodner, manager of the mind subsidence section in California District Office, Maurice Gardner, senior civil engineer in the district mining operations locally. We're headed towards a break. Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have an amazing three-bedroom, three-bath, 2,700-square-foot home in the beautiful Schoolside Estates development at 302 Schoolside Drive in Troop for $659,000. This 20-year-old home, it's in great shape. It has a grand staircase when you come in, Brazilian cherry floors, central air conditioning, two-car garage. It's got granite countertops in the kitchen. The list goes on and on. It's got French doors. It's got a beautiful fieldstone fireplace that goes from the floor to the ceiling. And don't forget about the huge rear deck with beautiful views of the valley from your back door. That's a stunning three-bedroom, three-bath home in the Schoolside Estates at 302 Schoolside Drive in Troop for $659,000. And that's listed by Jim Gilhooly of our office.
Thank you, Pat. 54% of Americans get overwhelmed by their monthly utility bills. One in three struggle to pay them. That's according to a survey by American Home Shield. Those worries and struggles are attributed to the fact that 89% of respondents have experienced increased utility costs in the last year. These are the most commonly reported. Number one, an electric increase. Mm-hmm. Second, internet. Third, gas. Fourth, water. Fifth, phone. To combat increasing bills, 30% reported getting a second job. 24% said they're reducing their grocery spending, and 10% they were skipping medical care or prescriptions. That's not good. 28% of the respondents reported missing at least one payment in the last year. 14% missed two or more. 61% said they're worried about the financial sustainability of ongoing rate hikes. Of all survey respondents, 63% said they carefully review their bills. 26% said they've disputed a bill. And of those, 48% paid less after that dispute. Other ways they're saving on their electric bills include using less light, using LED bulbs, keeping their home warmer or colder than comfortable, unplugging appliances, using energy-saving modes on appliances, and some are even winterizing.
The water bill is the killer.
I was thinking the same thing.
The water bill is the killer.
The water bill is astronomical.
More than the electric. It's unbelievable.
And now they have this new thing that if you have a leak in the house, they will only give you one-time credit of a very small amount, not even what you really deserve right. to be credited, and it's one time for the life of the account.
Right. Yeah, we had a leak in a water heater, and it was we used $600 worth of water. We didn't even know because it was in the basement.
And we got a French drain. We used the $100 credit, and we'll never, ever, if we have another leak, ever get another credit. I mean, it's robbery.
Yep.
All right. That's...
What are you going to do? You can't drill a... If I drill a well, I might hit a mine in Dunmore. Yeah, I don't know.
We would hit the mine.
Then the house will fall in.
Hold on for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM. The Talker will resume just a moment after a very short break. When considering to sell or buy a home, why choose Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate? Let me tell you why. 70% of home buyers settle for the first agent they meet and many regret it. 90% of home sellers hire an agent, but was it the right choice? Don't have agent remorse. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I've been in and around the real estate business for most of my life. And at Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate, we've been selling real estate for half a century, but we do not do it halfway. You deserve better than average. Average doesn't help you. We know it's all about you and what you need. Century 21 is the number one in brand awareness, is the most recognized name in real estate, and is the most respected in the industry. In this market, if you dream big, you need to move fast. So it makes perfect sense to contact Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate, 570-344-6724, and visit jreddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Back in the studio with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. I'm Jackie Reddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
With Michael Bodner, manager of the Mine Subsidence Section in the California District Office and senior civil engineer in the District Mining Operations Office. Okay. There is an emergency phone number for anybody that's experiencing any mine subsidence or any environmental emergency. What is that phone number, please?
That number is 866-255-5158.
Okay, thank you. Now, right before the break, we were talking about how the amount for policy holders has actually decreased in recent years, but the coverage limits have gone up. What are the coverage limits, please?
That's correct. An owner can obtain a policy with coverage limits anywhere from $5,000 up to $1 million. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we increased the maximum policy limit from $500,000 up to $1 million.
So what do you have to say? Any advice to somebody that has an existing policy from, say, the 80s or 90s? What do you have to say to those people?
Sure. Double check and make sure you have enough coverage on your mine subsidence insurance policy. Replacement value should be the amount you insure for. Again, and add another 20% to that. Replacement value of a home oftentimes exceeds the market value, especially when we're dealing with structures that may have brick veneer or stone veneer on it. So if you have a policy, double check and make sure that you have enough coverage. You know, check what you have on your homeowner's policy, which should be replacement value, and make sure you have at least that amount on your mine subsidence insurance policy.
Well, sometimes when you go out and there's been a claim, you have, in order to get to the area that you repair, you have to do other things. Maurice, would you like to talk about that? That costs money.
Absolutely, Jackie. And that's one of the major reasons why, as you said, we recommend insuring for the replacement cost. A lot of times when there is damage to the home, we have to take a lot of things apart in that existing home to get to be able to repair the damage to the structure. If we're building a new home, you know, you kind of follow the pieces of the puzzle and put things together in order. When we're dealing with an existing home, we may have to remove a front porch, take off a deck, rip up a patio, remove the garage floor. Any of those things are definitely possibilities and happen regularly. And that's all work that has to be done before we can actually get to, you know, repair the structure's foundation. So there's a lot of times that the overall cost of the job, 50% of it may be towards actually repairing the damage, and then 50% is to, you know, the what we have to remove and replace on the existing structure just to, you know, get to access the damage to make the repairs.
So, Maurice, when you go in and you take all those things out and you remove them so you can get to the area where you need to repair, what happens afterwards? Do you just call it a day, have a great day to the homeowner, or do you repair that area that needed repair and then rebuild those things that you removed?
No, anything that we would have to remove to access the damaged area would be replaced. It's in our insuring agreement that we are to put the structure back to existing or better condition. And you know, that would be our responsibility, under the insuring agreement. There is a lot of instances where sometimes we're dealing with existing structures that sometimes the building materials are outdated or no longer available, that we end up replacing it with a better, newer product. You know, sometimes, especially in this area, where the listening area is here, you know, we have stone foundations on older homes. You know, I can't replace a stone foundation with fieldstone. You know, it's an outdated thing. You know, so a lot of times in those instances, we're putting back block foundations or poured concrete, replacing stone that we had to remove.
Okay, I could understand that. So if I have an insurance policy and I decide to purchase a home in the next town over, can I transfer my existing policy to my new home?
The policies aren't transferred. You would because that policy it obtains a structure number. Mm. Each individual home has a structure number. No matter who owns it, the policy number will change, but the structure number does not. That's how we track each individual structure.
So it stays with the structure.
Yep. You would terminate the policy you had on that and then take out a new policy on the structure you were to purchase.
Can I give my new owners of the house that I had the insurance policy on, can I transfer it to them?
No, once you terminate that policy to take it out of your name, then they would reapply to put the policy in there. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So it's not like a warranty where it's transferable. This is something that has to be, the new owners would have to get their own policy.
Yep. And if there ever had been any work done or any claims filed, whether they were supported or denied on that structure, they would be documented by that structure.
Okay. Very good, gentlemen. I appreciate your time 2 weeks in a row. Michael Bodner, manager of the Mine Subsidence Section in the California District Office, and Maurice Gardner, senior civil engineer in the District Mining Operations Office. Thank you so much for being here. Can I have your website once again, please, and your phone number?
Sure. Our website is dep.pa.us/MSI, and our toll-free number is 1-800-922-1678. And I would also like to add, Jackie, that, you know, maybe sometimes I throw around the term just homeowners too loosely in regards to our program. Commercial structures are also insurable, just the same as dwellings are. Same rates, same coverage limits for commercial structures and residential structures.
Great information. Thank you again for being with us. Pat?
Yes, we have a 3-bedroom home at 1425 Bulworth Street in Scranton's West Side for $185,000. This would be the perfect starter home with hardwood floors, a newly remodeled kitchen, a first floor laundry, a new water heater, and a detached one-car garage, all on a manageable 40 by 110 lot, and taxes of only $2,000 a year. That's a three-bedroom home at 1425 Bulwer Street in Scranton for $185,000, and that's listed by Marie Ann Duffy Mates of our office.
We'll be back in next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 The Talker.